A very warm welcome to everyone, and today we'll continue in our exploration. So maybe first just to say that all the possibilities that we've explored so far on this retreat, and they can be continued to be deepened or widened, applied to more areas of our life. Probably each of them have a lifetime of possibilities that we could enjoy. And so today we will introduce another way of practicing, based on the theme of the talk from last night, which we would call a dukkha way of looking. But as you know, we already have an anicca way of looking, a vedana way of looking, or just in general, kind of opening, deepening. So there we were just walking backwards to the beginning of the retreat. So hopefully there's a feeling like, oh yeah, there's enough. I have enough of ways of meeting my experience. And so if that enough is also like, and no more, then it's fine. You can just stick with those, just practice with those. And if you feel like that, that's absolutely fine. And then you can just listen to this, just let it wash over you. It's just an idea. If you're interested for a little bit more or a different take on these practices, then there are many ways to see the dukkha practice, and the first one is really just as a natural extension of the anicca practice. And as we noticed that, everything is, we can see that therefore, it's unsatisfactory, it's unable, it's unreliable for lasting happiness, release. So if we feel some confidence in, everything is anicca, everything I've looked at is anicca, then we could just step directly to just, let's just release. We don't need to check if it's anicca, just more directly. And so we mentioned this before, but it may feel that a way of looking that points to the unsatisfactoriness of all things is kind of depressing. We've probably all had that kind of mood or been with someone in that kind of mood where, nothing's good enough. But somehow, when it's applied lightly and meditatively, you may see that it actually brings lightness. You can be very clear that we're actually relaxed, we're not rejecting experience, we're just saying, this is unsatisfactory. So there's a very important principle in the Dharma called the middle way. The Buddha would call it the middle way between extremes. Some of the extremes that we're playing with here is we're not rejecting experience. And we're not also kind of accepting experience or thinking. So can we feel the possibility of a very positive, life-affirming disinterest in phenomena? A subtle middle way that's not a lack of interest or intimacy with life, while it's not also building up a sense of importance to those things for happiness. And so this is pointing us closer and closer to seeing a happiness that's really really resonates actually with our direct experience and also with the teachings. So when we get what we want in life, there's this kind of relief which feels like happiness. And in general, most of us, most of the time, will associate that with that's because I got that thing. But what else happened then is that I stopped wanting it. I stopped demanding for it. I stopped planning for it. And so this practice is making a proposal that maybe the dukkha was in the demanding, not in the absence of having the thing. So this practice is exploring that insight that tanha is dukkha. Demanding is stressful. So we could say the first way that we could bring dukkha as a practice into being is it's unsatisfying. The first way that we can bring this practice into being is this is dukkha, it's unsatisfactory because it's impermanent, because it's inconstant. And just as we had the same, you know, with the anicca practice, it probably will allow for this kind of letting go, letting be. Now, it's going to be important to feel for yourself what's the impact of this way of looking, but many people actually find it opens joy. One of the ways I imagine it is almost like our demanding on life is building up like a dam in the river that's stopping the happiness flowing down. And then we say, this is unsatisfactory. And that dam in some way breaks and the happiness just flows in. And remembering in the teachings, we have this really wide spectrum of what we mean by happiness. It might be kind of high level excitement that comes through. It might be a little bit calmer, a little bit more quiet, but there might be kind of just a live bubbling feeling in the body. It's like, ah, yes, happiness. There might be kind of a quieter, but a little bit deeper, more just kind of pleasant well-being. It's like, oh, I have enough. Satisfied, content. And of course, it might be this kind of happiness that really takes a very subtle or refined attention to notice. It's just equanimity, just peaceful, deep, spacious feeling of, So I think it's a fun part of the practice to notice the impact, the kinds of freedom that we experience from different practices. Each way of relating or each way of looking at our experience brings a sense of freedom, but it has its own kind of personality or flavor in that moment. So most of the time, just enjoy that, oh, that's nice. But also pay a little attention. It's like, oh, how does that feel? How is that different? So some of you will notice, you know, when we were practicing Vedana, maybe it brought a certain kind of happiness or a certain kind of peace. You know, we bring in the anicca way of looking and maybe that brightened the mind, you know, invited more sensitivity. So, oh yeah, that's interesting. But this isn't to make kind of fixed definitions. This does that all the time. But introducing a little bit more sensitivity and intelligence. So, I wonder if I brought this in here, what it would do. And then we become a little bit like that chef making that meal. We just say, oh, what this needs, maybe just drop in this way of looking. Might just... So just saying to things, or saying to this moment in which this thing is appearing, this is unsatisfactory, can often open a kind of a joyfulness. Interestingly enough. And it's really good to get to know the kind of the core of these practices, and then we can just adjust their flavor so they're a little bit more appropriate. And so we can introduce, so we have dukkha, unsatisfactory, with this kind of very quiet, because it's anicca. Another way of practicing this that I like is dukkha, unsatisfactory, because of the reactivity, because of the reactivity. And this is actually, I use for this a phrase that the Buddha used when he was practicing, you know, very kind of deep states of meditation. And he would say something like, "This is not peaceful." And it said at the same time, you know, with this sense, there is a deeper peace possible for me, and yet there is a peace possible. It introduces a more subtle, more sweet letting go. Any experience of tanha is dukkha. All experiences of dukkha are contractions in the body or in the awareness. So there's a whole other way of practicing dukkha. I don't think we'll touch on it today, but it resonates with the first and second kind of days of practice. And it's, you know, dukkha, unsatisfactory because of the contraction, because of the lack of space. And so it's that invitation to open. Now, all of these practices are really interrelated, right? When we open the space in the first days or whenever we return to that practice, we're practicing relieving dukkha. So when we talk about paying attention to the effects of the practice, we mean in the body and also in the heart and mind. So as we relax the tanha and the dukkha, we relax the body, relax the awareness. And similarly, we could go from the side of the body and the awareness. Let's just open them out, and that's going to reduce the tanha, the demanding in the heart and the mind. They depend on. Now, tanha goes very, very subtle. Whatever is the current object in attention is actually held there by a certain degree of dukkha and contraction. And the more that we lessen the contraction, the freer the object becomes, and it actually kind of fades or disappears from attention. The more we lessen contraction, so this is a very, very subtle point. We may not taste it for ourselves, but we might start to notice the grosser end of this experience. You know, the stronger the desire and the aversion, it's all very clear. There's a stronger feeling of contraction. We have a firmer grip in attention on this object, and the object itself seems more significant, more solid. And then we lessen the desire or the aversion, or we lessen the contraction, open the space. And there's this more peaceful kind of holding of the attention, and the object itself becomes less solid, it becomes more fluid, it becomes more dynamic. And then we might come into this field of a way of paying attention we might call mindfulness. And we feel now I'm seeing things as they really are. I'm seeing objects as they really appear. But if we keep releasing the contraction, this object is again going to change, become more spacious. Maybe it's going to fade in its solidity more, dissolve in its sense, and then maybe now we're seeing things as they really are. Yeah, and so that form of dukkha in the experience is also fading. And so on this path towards this peacefulness, Dukkha is fading and fading, but so are objects. And we have this really impossible to answer question arises for the practitioner. Just how much dukkha do I need to be able to see things as they really are? So again, as always, when we're working with this, being sensitive to the heart and mind, yeah? If anything starts to become overwhelming, we can always change the practice. If we find the insight ways of looking really powerful, we might want to just do them a really small percentage of our time, most of the time with the calmness practices. If we find them really enjoyable, or we enjoy the exploration of quite, how do I do this? Maybe doing it as much as half of the time, the insight practice. But remembering that insight practice really supports the calmness and the spaciousness, but it also depends on the calmness and spaciousness to be able to be applied. Sometimes we have to be really sensitive that we're not using these practices. So sometimes we feel like, I got so much relief from just bringing this dukkha way of looking, and now when I'm doing it, I'm not getting any relief at all. You know, we might find ourselves saying or thinking or expressing, you know, I was really letting go in relationship to that pain and it just wasn't going away. You know, we feel like we're letting go, but we're actually saying, shouldn't you have already left by now? And so this is actually a further element of the dukkha practice that we just want to make sure it's kept alive. It's this sense of welcoming. And so we're letting go, but we're also welcoming. Because it's the way of looking that we're changing. It's not the object that has dukkha in it. Okay, so let's bring this into a practice together. Settling into your practice, whether that's breath and body or the sounds. As you notice different things coming into and out of experience, noticing the impact on the level of contractedness in the being. And supporting just a sense of spaciousness around this object. can have that sense, this is dukkha, unsatisfactory, because of the contraction. And maybe we just open, breathe deeper, open the space more. Whatever phenomena is in appearance now, can we let go of that holding on to that phenomena? Just noticing anything at all we can hold on to could only be here for a moment. Holding on or pushing away in relationship to this could only be dukkha. As we know, this is dukkha, just letting go. this inattention now is dukkha, unsatisfactory, and letting go. It doesn't have to be true, we don't need to agree, just trying it on as a way of looking. So if it's supportive, relaxing through the body, checking we're not leaning too far forwards or backwards. Just inviting that noting, this inattention now is unsatisfactory, it's unreliable, relaxing in relationship to that. This inattention now, can we see this as unsatisfactory? is not peaceful. This is not peaceful. There is a more peaceful experience possible. This is not a rejection. Everything is available to be here. Everything is also able to be released. Whatever's in attention now can be seen as unsatisfactory. Just inviting the attention to open around what's here, not grasping on, not pushing away. Anything at all that can appear cannot bring lasting happiness. Just letting go into more peaceful, more free way of relating. noticing the impact on the body, on the mind of this way of looking. If there's any well-being felt, enjoy, let that spread, let it touch us. We can also release any subtle holding on to this too. So through the day to day, we can again practice whether we want to, if we're going to use this practice, bringing it in through like a very wide awareness, whatever happens, you know, not holding on to that, that's unsatisfactory, letting it go. And so that might mean opening all the sense doors and just everything flowing. It might be everything that flows through one sense door. We're kind of letting that be appropriate to the amount of steadiness we feel in the heart and mind and body. And sometimes we might get the opportunity when something becomes very significant, we can really work on one phenomena just at a time, just working through it, like, opening in relationship to this. A nice way we can bring this into the walking, and then that might support, it might come in the sittings as well, is that we can walk in a way that we feel we don't have any demand on life at all, or at least very little. That our walking or our sitting or our eating can be an expression of peace, harmony, love.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.